Okay, no problem.
All right. I'm just going to get on my balance board. That's what I usually do during podcasts. So I have a little workout as well. I hope you don't mind.
No, no problem. This is Up on Foil, the podcast for everyone flying just above the surface. Pump, carb, soar, let's foil.
Ok, bienvenue à l'épisode numéro 50 de mon podcast Up on Foil. No, just kidding. Don't stop listening. Of course, you're going to do it in English. Episode number 50 of Up on Foil, the podcast where we talk all about foiling. And today it is with Martin Letourneur. He's a foil enthusiast. He organizes the Doxart competition of the Glisse Van Paris show. And he's also in the organizing committee of the Creusant Foil Festival. Thank you very much, Martin, to come on the show. Is there anything I forgot to mention or should add at the beginning?
No, that's perfect. Thank you. Stoked to be here.
All right. Cool. Very cool. I just need, before we start, need to get a shout out. Shout out to Mark, who does these awesome shirts. Have you seen that? Foiler.framer.website. Really cool. And I got one for my friend and one for myself. And I really love him. So let's talk about you. You said you're a foil enthusiast. I saw some videos of you winging. Is that what you usually do?
Yeah. I try to do many things. I come from a surfing background. And it was like when I was 8 years old, so more than 20 years ago. And then I discovered other water sports like stand-up paddling in the waves, also racing. And rapidly when foiling came with the epic Kailini video, everyone saw back in 2016, I guess. I just said, okay, I need to start it.
All right, so let's talk about that Doxart competition. How is that going to look like? Is it going to be similar to the Doxart competition at the boat in Düsseldorf?
I wasn't there at the boat Düsseldorf, but I saw some pictures of it. I think it's going to be quite similar. What is sure is that it's going to be similar to what we did in Creusant Foil Festival last year, which was basically a tournament with first round, second round, quarterfinals, semifinals, and then the final. And at every round, you have different heats to go through, and you will go against four or five riders starting at the same time, and then you have to run and make the race, placing first or second to go to the next round, and then all the way to the final. So that would be the main event of the Doxart event at the Glisse Van Paris show. But we're gonna also have a new format that is pretty exciting. It's a kind of last man standing format in which every foiler will start at the same time almost. They will have like 1 minute to get on the foil, get up on the foil and start pumping. And once the minute is passed, it's whoever stays the longer on the foil to win the first place and the prize. And important to mention, we have categories for men, women, and kids, and it's all equal. So we'll have the some prize money, which is the first one, I think, for Doxart foiling. It will be equal for men and women, and we'll have some cool gifts for the kids. And if a kid show up and beat the adult men, they will win the prize money. So we have open divisions, kids cool. Division, men, women, and two Doxart race format that are pretty different and exciting at the same time.
That is super cool. So let's maybe first talk about the classic Doxart competition. It's going to be four or five against each other. Yeah. How do you determine, or how is the starting situation going to be? Because I know from the couple of races I was in, people are never happy with the starting situation. It's too high, it's too low, not enough space. How are you going to organize that?
So first thing is, I got the confirmation that we'll have very nice docks to start with, really like right height, the right configuration. So it should be pretty good for Doxart events. And then about how to decide, it will be the riders will take a number. It will be how to say that. It will be decided randomly.
Like a...
Yeah, they will just pick a paper and there will be a number on it, and it will define which dock they will start on. Because, as you said, there can be differences. One can be a little higher than one other, and we want to make it fair. And with the random dock decision, it's a way to make it fair for everyone. So, but the thing is that every foiler, every competitor will have the chance to train a lot on the docks before the event. And my advice would be to try on every dock. So. You can't be disappointed with the choice. But again, I got the confirmation that they are really nice for dock start sprint racing.
How high are they? Like, how high is the dock above the water? Do you know that?
I don't know. They didn't tell me, but it should be around, like, I would say 40 centimeters, between 30 and 50 centimeters. Maybe a little less, I don't know.
For me, that would be perfect.
Yeah, and you have side for the you have space for your foil on the side below the dock, so you don't have to be a little bit on the side and trying to go. You can really like run with your board and your foil and jump on it, which makes it a lot easier.
Oh, nice! So you can do actually a running start, so you can take a smaller front wing. That is super cool.
And that's exciting because it's sprint racing.
One or
so
two
the way you
to go around.
Yeah. So you have one first buoy to make, for one first buoy turn, and then you come back to turn another buoy turn, and you have a third buoy to turn before the finish line. So it's going to be, I think, 200 meters long. So you have time to pump, but you have also turns to make, and it's going to be cool to see some recovery from maybe someone who started pretty slow and then just started to grow the speed and end up pretty fast to finish first or second. And it's going to be sick.
That is super exciting. So you have these different heats, and then you have one final and like a first position. How many of these races do you have? Is it going to be one? So if one shows up and he falls on the first start, he's out? Or does he have like another chance to go?
What we did in Crozon was the people could go again one time. And if you fall, you can swim back quickly to the dock and try again. And we saw many riders, especially in the early round, go back, do a second start, and then go to the next round. So I'm not sure yet. It depends on the level of the field and the time management. But if we do the same than what we do in Crozon, I think it's pretty good, so has another chance, especially for the early rounds, because in the quarter, semi, or final, no one missed their start.
Yeah, that's for sure. Do you have any confirmations yet, people who are coming that we might know?
Actually, I have some good news. So I have Clément Rosero, who is a super well-rounded waterman. He was there last year in Crozon. Also, Axel Pham, who did very good at the Molokai race, downwind race. But who else? I don't have the start list, but I will send it to you after the episode.
No worries. Is there a start list that where people can see who is signed up already?
No, not yet.
Or is that like more private and they can ask you?
No, for now it's only private. What I heard is we have 30 people registered, and the event can go up to 50 riders. Yeah, so it's just starting to build, and I think we'll be at 50 riders by the time of the event.
Can you maybe just tell the listeners the date, because I forgot to mention it at the beginning?
Yeah, so it happens on the 20 and 21st of September at the Gliese Van Paris Show.
All right, so that's in a month, huh? And then for that long or the last person standing, that's exciting. guests like Ludo Freefoiler, who does over an hour, or maybe even Nicola Eaton, who does 4 hours, might be interested. how long do you give them time? Because they can basically pump forever.
Yeah, I don't know. It will be a brand new format that we're going to try. And what I imagine is with the pressure of the live aspect of the competition, it's something different. Because last year again in Crozon, we saw many good riders just fall because of the pressure of the having all the spectators watching you and stuff like that. And I think this aspect can influence the performance. And the second aspect is the lake is quite big, so it's good you have a room to pump on your side without colliding with anyone. But in the meantime, as it's big, you can have some wakes, you can have some wind going on, and I'm not sure they do all the records with conditions like that. It can be a little bit windy, and then maybe it's going to be a 15-minute race, and it's going to be super hard to stay up on the foil, and maybe we're going to see someone else win the thing, I don't know. But yeah, I spoke with...
So if it takes too long, you can take the motorboat and make some wakes till they fall.
Probably a good idea. Maybe, yeah. Well, maybe we're going to ask some e-foilers to go really close. No, I don't know. What we decided, if it's way too long, like over 2 hours and with no sign of stopping, we might stop the race and just... make equal first with everyone still standing and share. We have a prize money for this event too. So share the prize money between the different foilers still up.
All right, so that's a good plan. If you say prize money, of course people want to know how much. Can you tell us about that?
So we have 6,000 euros of prize money. We have 4,000 for the sprint racing format that will reward the rider for the first to the fourth place. Again, it's going to be equal with men and women, no matter the number of participants in each category. And we have 2,000 euros for the last man standing format. And again, it will be equal 1,000 for the first man and 1,000 for the first women to stay up the longer possible.
That is amazing. That is super cool, man. I wish I could come. I should have known earlier that is going to happen, but I'm sure that there's going to be a possibility to watch the event. Is there going to be like live coverage, or like can people see it on your Instagram, or is there an official Instagram account where you can?
Yeah, it will be definitely possible to follow it on the Instagram of the event. And I'm not sure yet which media confirm their venue and to film the event. I don't have the confirmation yet, but on the Instagram account of Glis Van Paristro, it will be possible to follow it. And also with Amaury, who's the organizer of Crozon Foil Festival, and I will make updates too. To share the stoke.
All right, that is so cool. Yeah, make sure to tag me as well so I can share it as well. Can we also talk about the Crozon Foil Festival? Because that's going to be not long after, right?
Yeah, it's going to be not even 1 month after. And it's a different format because it's really an event that is focused on competition with three disciplines. We have foil surfing, downwind subfoiling, and then the dog start event with the sprint racing format only. And the idea is to gather as many passionate and elite foilers as we can in one location, that is the peninsula of Crozon in Brittany, northwest of France, with a 6 days waiting period to wait for the best possible conditions for each event. So the best waves for the foil surfing event. Last year we had crazy looking waves. It was like perfect 3 foot, 3 foot waves with no wind. It was just amazing. And we are gonna wait for the best possible wind to run two races with hopefully the best oceanic conditions for the riders to enjoy. And then we'll have the dog start event that will be on the on Saturday 18th of October, and we'll have a kind of showdown, because we do it in the city harbor, and we have all the spectators, the brands, the tents watching from above. And yeah, it's gonna be pretty exciting. So we're gonna have 6 days and deciding every day which event suits better the conditions, and just make a great show.
So the dog starting is on Saturday, that's for sure already.
Yeah, there is a possibility it goes to Sunday, but it's in case of
it's on the weekend.
Yeah, it will be on the weekend for sure. It can only go on Saturday, on Sunday, if the weather is very bad for Saturday, and we have to make it on Sunday.
All right, that is amazing, because I think I might be possible to do the weekend, not sure yet. Is there still places available for the dog starting?
Yeah. And actually, it's the only event that is really open to anyone, because we kept the top 30 from last year to be selected directly in the main event. We also have some wild cards with the big names of the foiling world, and we offer the opportunity for anyone to qualify through the trials that will happen in the morning. The main event will be in the afternoon, but in the morning everyone will have two chances to go and do the racetrack of the event and make the fastest time possible. And if you go and make the top 20 times, you will go to the main event and face the world's best foilers.
The pros.
Yeah.
That is amazing. All right. I'm gonna try to hit up some friends of mine and see if we can do like car sharing up to Cons. That is amazing. Last year, if I recall correctly, because we talked to Gwen, Le Tutour. I also talked to Jonas Hilder. They were both in Creuson. And you were there as well, right, as a participant. Yeah. Last year wasn't that good, was it?
It was actually, it was good for foil surfing and the dog start event, but unfortunately we had only very light wind for the downwind races, and which made it really difficult, because the event team still decided to make the races, which I think was the right call, because otherwise, everyone was just sitting there doing nothing. But yeah, it was a lot of pumping. The first race...
They did a lot, right?
Yeah, the first race was 15 kilometers. And I remember looking at my GPS watch, and I could see my cardio go up and down. And it made me realize that I made 30 launch to, wow. to just wow. take off. Pump, try to glide as much as possible, and then go down to rest a bit and start again. And I don't know, I think I took like maybe an hour and a half to do 15 kilometers. That should be done in, I don't know, less than 40 minutes normally. So yeah, it was a lot of pain. And fortunately, we had a second race that was still very light, but then everyone was aware it was light. And we all got bigger foils, and everyone was flying all the way from the start to the finish. So yeah, it was frustrating, because it's light wind, downwind racing. It's not super exciting, but it was still a good.
What you gonna do?
A good grind. Yeah.
All right. How did you finish? What was your position? Do you remember?
Yeah. Actually, I did pretty good, because I think many guys just gave up and they say, oh, I don't want to do this, or it's too painful, I don't know. But I kept trying and doing takeoffs again and again. And I placed 13th at the event, which was pretty
nice,
cool. I was stoked.
But, congratulations, man.
Yeah. But I would rather have a good downwind run with a lot of wind and everyone stoked at the end. That would be better. So this year, I'm sure we're going to do it, because the event happens at a time of the year where you always have some wind to come, some storms to come. And we extended the waiting period, so I'm sure we'll will have at least one very, very good run.
All right. Yeah, if I recall correctly, like the training days were pretty good.
Actually, I had my fastest time downwind foiling 2 days before the event. We did a 30 kilometers run, like from one point of the bay to the other, and it was 3 meters of swell, 35 knots. It was just crazy. Everyone foiling, going super fast, carving, making big wipeouts. We were like 30 to 40 foilers at the same time. And it was just so nice. And I think I did it around 1 hour. So I was super stoked to go fast. And the idea of the extended waiting period this year was to make sure if we have the same scenario, we have it in the event, like we don't miss it. It's not just a training. It's a part of the races.
All right. That's super cool. I'm always curious. What gear do you use? What gear did you use? Are you changing gear or do you have new gear that you didn't have last year? Are you participating even, or are you just organizing?
No, I'm still participating. That was the deal with Amaury, the organizer of the event. It's, I compete at the foil surfing and downwind foiling, and then I help him with all the other aspects of the event, and especially organizing the dog start, because it's the day we host the different partners, the spectators. So it's a good deal. I can enjoy a bit of everything at the event. But to answer your question, I've been using the F1 foil for a few years now. The last year I was already using the Eagle X900, which is now my foil for light wind conditions. It worked because I used it for last year, and even in very, very light conditions, I was still able to place well at the race. I kept it, and now for better conditions, I use the F1 Momentum, the 716. And if the conditions are good, I will get Momentum 616 to hope to go a little faster on the race.
These Momentums are really impressive.
Oh, they are sick. Like the first time I tried the 716, it was like super easy to take off, and then I was just blown away with both the speed you can get and the ease to just fly without doing anything. Like my legs are just standing up. I'm not even flexing. I'm resting and going super fast. So I have no doubt why the guys like Edo are able to win the Molokai, or even the F1 crew are able to do some downwind runs like 200 kilometers straight away without stopping with these foils. They are super good. I know there are many other foil brands that are good, but for now I'm pretty happy with the F1 foils. And for surfing too, the skate, the F1 skate is super nice for carving and pumping back to wave and carving again. It's really fast and playful.
That is super cool. Have you done the pump foil event as well last year?
Yeah, but actually I was one of the people who didn't go well because of the spectator pressure. I think I didn't train enough. Like I wasn't at 100% rate of success for dog start. I was around I don't know, maybe 80%. And when I had to race, I just missed my two starts, which was, I don't have any excuse because I had a second start to try and I just missed it. But it's okay. I'm more someone of the wind and the waves than the dog starts. But this year, I will train. I won't compete, but I promise to myself that I will train more and at least be able to dog start with smaller foils to just enjoy the discipline.
All right, very cool. Just the question of the seaweed for both, for the Glisse Van Paris show and also the Croissant Foil Festival. That's always a big issue, especially when dock starting, because you basically fall and have no chance to get back up. How do you manage that? Is that just no seaweed, or are you going to like mow it before people get there?
So in Paris, it shouldn't be a problem. Because you don't have, it's like by the city and It's an Olympic water stadium, so it should be really fine. In Crozon, it's more random, but we are in the harbor, so usually the seaweeds don't get too close to where we do the race. They just go all the way with the current to the beach, and in the harbor we are pretty safe with them. But I don't know how to see it, because on another hand, it's part of the responsibility to watch where you are going and then try to avoid it. I don't know. I'm always thinking that when wing foiling. But I understand that it sucks when you just end up on the seaweed and there is no way just get out of the foil.
I did a downwinder with my pump foil a couple of weeks ago, and it's just like, if you see them, it's too late. You can try to go as high as possible, but then you breach and you fall as well. So really, the seaweed thing is a really big issue. But the other question that I wanted to ask, and it just comes back to mind, it's just sup foiling, right? No para wings allowed. Is there any way that in the future you're going to add that as well?
So I can't speak about the future, but for now, no para wing. It's kind of big organization to make the bus shuttle, the safety boats. If we open to other divisions, it's going to be a lot trickier to follow. Maybe we'll open it to powering depending on how it evolves. But for now, it's only sub-foiling with a paddle. So you have to grind it out to make it to the start line. No excuses.
Because I'm still struggling. Would that be possible? Just like to get out of the harbor to the starting line with a para wing and then just stow it and go with the paddle? Would that be an option, or is that not allowed?
You mean to just go to the start line with the para wing and then wait?
The starting line, yes. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Because you can't start a race with the para wing and then trade it to your paddle. I don't think we will allow
it. No. But just go out to the starting line with the para wing so you don't have to pull, you don't get tired, and then just switch it before you actually get on.
I don't see any problem with that. But actually, what is the cool thing this year is for the elite downwind foil race, we'll have up to 80 riders, and we have enough safety boats to get the riders and get them to the start line, which is cool, because if we can only do a run that goes from very far at sea to the coast, we can bring the riders to the starting line at sea, and then they can enjoy bumps straight away without having to paddle to a point and then do the starts we did last year. Last year there was a lot of paddling. It was pretty pretty tiring before it started.
So maybe just to round up these two events, the Paris show and the Crozon, what are the temperatures that people have to expect? Like, is it like a shorty, or is it full on a wetsuit temperature? How is it usually?
So in Paris, it should be pretty warm because the weather has been super warm in France and probably anywhere in Europe these last few weeks. So because it is sprint racing, I would recommend a short suit. So board short or shorty, but not the full wetsuit for sure. But I don't know, maybe if you get cold really easily, you get a full wetsuit, but I wouldn't recommend it. And Crozon is quite different because the water drop starts to drop a little bit at that time of the year. And with the wind and the waters that is around 15, 16 degrees, I would recommend to have a full wetsuit for the three events. Some people did the dog start event with board shorts last year, but I wouldn't do it myself.
Yeah, makes sense. All right. Is there just maybe important, where can people sign up?
So all the information for both events are up on their website. So it's glissvanparisshow.fr.com. Let me check.
I'm going to put it somewhere on the screen. And for the Crozon?
So it's glissvanparisshow.com and then crozonfoilfestival.com. And just to speak about Crozon, we have a selection process. So as I explained to you, for dog starting, you can either apply for a wild card to go straight to the main event, or register for the trials. It's open for anyone to try, and then try to make the top 20 to register. And for the foil surfing and downwind races, you have to apply with some information about what you do, some videos of surfing, GPS track, places at other downwind events for the event team to make sure that that they can integrate you in the event.
All right. Awesome. That is so cool. All right. I'm really trying to get there for the Pompful event in Cozon. That would be super cool. Is there anything else, Martin, that you want to add? Because I think we're going to wrap it up here.
Yeah, just thank you for having me. I hope it was possible to understand me. My English is not so good right now. I have to train a little more. I used to be better, but I don't know. So if everyone understood me, that's cool. And hope to see you at both events and just share the talk of foiling. For anyone listening, don't hesitate to contact me if you have any questions, talk about the format. I will gladly answer your messages. And
where can people contact you?
The easiest way is on my Instagram. It's Martin _ Le Tourneur. Don't hesitate to send me a message. That's the easiest way. Yeah.
Awesome. Perfect. Cool. Well, thank you very much, Martin, to come on the show to share these awesome events. Thanks for all the listeners, to viewers, for listening and watching and sharing, of course, as well. I'm also super happy if you can rate the podcast. That will help a lot. And if not, see you guys in the next one. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. See ya.
Bye-bye. Awesome. Thank you very much, man.
Cool. Thank you.
Again, tell me again what your real job is.
So yeah, so outside of foiling events, I just started a company with two friends that is called Roundhouse Surf Co. And we develop a surfboard brand, which is MD Surfboards, a brand that exists for more than 10 years now. We make surfboards, foil boards, and life-saving rescue boards. And the second activity we have is we produce in France biomass-based EPS foam blanks. So the foam blanks that are used to make the how do you say it, the center of the surfboard. And
like the core, I don't know.
Yeah, the core, exactly. Sorry. So we produce the EPS biomass based foam blanks that make the core of many surfboards. We use them for our own production, but then we sell it also to many shapers. For example, Kelly Cabianca, who does the surfboards of Gabriel Medina, used them, and we developed this product. We just launched it, and we develop it now to hopefully have it used anywhere in Europe, and in the few years anywhere in the world, hopefully. So that's my main job, to deal with that.
That is amazing, but that's new. You said you just started that.
Yeah. For the short long story, that was the activity of a company I worked for the last 2 years. And the company stopped. It went into bankrupt. And with my two other friends that also worked there, we decided to relaunch it because we knew there was some potential and we could do it the other way. So we just started it again, and now we do it our own way. We build a complete new shape room and everything. We are pretty much on track now to make it go again and develop the surfboards and foam blanks activity.
That is super impressive. What's your background?
I come from a business schools curriculum. I have a master degree in marketing and brand management, and I have done different experiences in sales. I worked to manage a surf shop during several years, and I've worked on a lot of events. I created a few events when I was doing a lot of stand-up paddle racing, and I did just many things, and now it seems that it's the right thing to do to just make create my own company with two friends and do things our way. We are both 30 years old and just dreaming big, so the market right now is not so cool, easy, man. But we like to take the challenge.
That is so cool, man. That's really inspiring. Like, going all in, that is just so cool.
Yeah, as you said, I always try to think about the life decisions like taking off on a wave. If you take off too early, you just miss the wave because you didn't have enough momentum to go. And if you go after the wave, you go through the leap and you just crash, or you miss the wave again because you were not able to take it. So when you feel it's the right time, just go. And here in Saint-Malo, where I live, we have a nice crew of people like doing just creating business, trying to do things differently, creating new materials, new ways to produce. We have a cool foil brand called Loke Foil that is also around, and we have so many projects together. It's pretty inspiring. I don't know if any of this will work for the next 10 years, but right now we are pushing it as much as we can. Yeah.
That is so cool, man. That was really inspiring, like philosopher shit. is Saint-Malo, just the last question, sorry, I'm gonna let you go. Yeah. Then Saint-Malo, is that a place that one should visit?
I mean, for sure, because it's one of the most touristic places of France. You have an old city that is just so cool to see. Don't hesitate to watch it on Google. And the sea is beautiful over there. You have really nice beaches. You have just so many things to see around. You have actually one of the biggest touristic spots in France, which is the Mont Saint-Michel. I don't know if you heard of it, but it's a kind of medieval city built on a rock in the middle of a big sand bay that goes when you have the low tide,
the sea
just disappears, and when the tide gets back, it just becomes an island. So it's pretty unique to see, and many, many people come to visit it. So yeah, don't hesitate to visit Saint-Malo. It's really worth it, and don't hesitate to reach me if you come.
All right, I will do that. And the surf, I guess the foiling is also pretty good there, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty nice. We don't have the best winds or waves, but you can definitely spend some time on the water. But if you come from far away, it's a good spot. Then you can go to the point of Brittany, like 2 hours more on the west, and you can enjoy really good conditions. I mean, exactly where we have the Crozon Foil Festival. It's in this area, you have the best possible waves and wind conditions. It's just incredible. You have all the different orientation of the beaches and the waves, and you can always find something to do. It's a pretty crazy place.
Awesome. All right, well, Martin, thank you very much, man. That was amazing. That was really cool. I'm glad that I re-recorded this